my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Well, I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come back and sing that first verse again. And while he does, and we're remaining standing, I just want you to think about the words of these wonderful old songs about the great glory and majesty of God. And that's the God that we serve. And we come realizing that we don't just serve a... I certainly don't want to be critical of others. We don't serve a cool, mod God. It's the God of all creation. It's not a newfound phenomenon. He's the God of eternity past and the God of eternity future. He's God. You can't look far enough that way or that way. He was there and he's there. So as we sing that, let's just think about the words. I will sing that first verse again. And as Brother Dan mentioned just a little bit ago, we will observe the Lord's Supper tonight. If you didn't and you wanted to, but you didn't get the bread and the cup on your way in, they're right in the hallway there on the table. They're the self-serve kind that we've used the last time we observed the Lord's table. And during this song, though, if you need to slip back and get yours, then please feel free to do so. But let's remain standing just a moment, sing this song again, and then we'll pray and begin the service.
O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hand have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Father, we do come to you now this evening, and we, Lord, we acknowledge gladly, willingly, thankfully acknowledge that you are that wonderful, awesome God. And Lord, I praise you this evening, and Lord, we thank you for your beauty and majesty and glory and grandeur, and Lord, so many other things, but we just praise you tonight, how great thou art. Thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift that you've given to us in all of your greatness. You still choose to love us, and thank you, Lord, for that. Bless this evening, I pray, and as we observe the Lord's table, dear Lord, I pray that we would do some contemplating, soul-searching, dear Lord, and may this group of people be right with you. Oh, Lord, what a wonderful thought. If a group here could examine ourselves, as your word tells us to, and be right with you, and then look back to the cross and look forward to when you return. And, oh, dear Lord, what a wonderful, wonderful time we can have tonight. I pray that you'd bless us. I pray that you'd meet with us. And, Lord, do something in our midst, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Brother Daniel's going to come and open up our service in some readings of the passage about the Lord's Supper.
And turn in it to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. And we'll read this passage of Scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote under inspiration to help guide the church at Corinth to understand what we're going to do tonight. And what a wonderful opportunity we have to remember our Lord and His death, His sacrifice, His payment for our sins as we observe the Lord's table this evening. So 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As you find your place, I'll begin to read, beginning in verse number 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together to condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come.
Well, that passage is referencing where in the Gospels when Christ had gathered the disciples together, and as the Lord is giving through the apostle to the group at Corinth, he, of course, is referring back to when the Gospels were given, and the Lord had first instituted the Lord's Supper. And I read to you in Luke chapter 22, verse 19, when the Lord instituted this, the Bible says he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. You know, we're odd beings, aren't we? We forget some of the strangest things. There are certain things that seems like we can't forget. Seems like there are certain things you can't get out of your mind. Like if I would tell you tonight, please do not think about a pink elephant. Please do not envision a pink elephant. It's hard for your brain not to envision or at least think about that. There's other things, as I heard at a funeral recently, and many of you would identify with this. This pastor got up and he said, Oh, I can remember great things from, things great, I can remember them very well, I should say, from 30 years ago. But he said, Today's lunch is what I have a problem with, remembering what I had for then. We all remember certain things and we forget other things, but we're odd. You know, one thing I've got some friends that are doctors, and the one thing that I know doctors have issues with is when they give a prescription, and it's a temporary one, not a one that you're going to be on from then on. Sometimes they have issues with their patients, and their patients will take those medicines or that antibiotic or whatever it is, and you know how long they take it? They take it until they're not feeling bad anymore. But maybe it's a 30-day supply. Maybe it's a 14-day supply. But after 3 days, they're feeling better. And you know what's hard to remember? When you're feeling better, it's hard to remember to take your medicine. Now, as long as you're sick, feeling like you just feel like you've been kicked and beaten the road and left there, it's not hard to give me some more. I'm very bad, as Amy would attest to. If a little bit is good, then a lot's better. Those little pills are so small, and if you're going to take them for 5 days, why don't just take twice as many, get it done 2.5? But it's hard sometimes to remember to take them after you don't, that the need is not so strong right there. And I think the same thing happens with our spiritual walk. Some of the sweetest times that people that I get to counsel with, or pastor, some of the sweetest times in their Christian lives are some of the rottenest times in their health or their relationship life. Because it's during those times that we realize what we desperately need is a close relationship, close fellowship with the Lord. And then when those problems subside and we get to smooth sailing again and my life is going on and I'm not constantly reminded how rough of a patch I'm in, then I forget, as I preached about this morning, I forget to get alone with the Lord and just have or spend time with Him. And I believe the Lord, says what He says about the Lord's Supper, but I believe that one of the wonderful benefits of the Lord's Supper is causing us to stop. Because as Brother Daniel read from the Scriptures there a little bit ago, and it said, let a man examine himself. If a man would judge himself, he would not be judged. And how often do we examine ourselves and make sure that everything's all right? Used to sing that old song, everything's all right in my Father's house. And if we're not careful, if everything's going wonderful, we don't take time to stop and examine and make sure that relationships are good going that way and fellowship is good going that way. We often will excuse our less than kind acts towards somebody. And instead of being what we ought to be as a Christian, we're a little shady on certain things. But then when we get to a place where we examine ourselves, and I believe that the Lord's Supper is instituted for many reasons, but one reason, to get us to do what we don't often do on our own. And so, as I mentioned, sometimes if things get better in your physical life, you forget to take medicine. And sometimes if things are going good in your life and physical or spiritual life, you forget to spend time with the Lord. As Daniel read just a little bit ago in 1 Corinthians, and he said what the Word of God says in verse number 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes. You tie that with the Bible when it says we're crucified with Christ, and we understand that when we observe the Lord's Supper, we are showing and proclaiming the Lord's death, His sufficient death, sacrificial. We're proclaiming that until we see Him again, till we see the Lord again. And so this evening I would submit to you that the Lord, knowing our frailties, I believe He put safeguards in our Christian life. Most all of you have had this happen. Whenever you get your oil changed, they put that little sticker in the left-hand corner of your windshield. Change it at this month or this many miles. But now our cars, instead of just because we can't trust us on those stickers, so now your cars, most of them on the display sometime or another after you've gone so many miles, or they check the engine oil quality, it'll say 0% oil left, not amount, but in quality, and it'll remind you. You know why they put that on there? Apparently we're not smart enough to look at the little sticker up in the top left-hand corner. We got so used to that sticker being up there that GM, Ford, Toyota, whoever, all of them decided that they would tell you on a flashing display right there beside your speedometer. And they should know, based on how many tickets some of you get, that you don't pay attention to the speedometer either. But they are going to do that because we're prone to forget. And you know what happens spiritually? We're prone to forget. We're prone to forget that we're forgiven. We're prone to forget how wonderfully blessed we are. We're prone to forget how great Thou art. O Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder, we're prone to forget that. And I believe what a service like this does, and I've been in different churches where we do it differently, but this is just the way I feel led that we ought to do it, especially this evening. And that is just to take this time to do what the Bible says. Let a man examine himself. Let a woman examine himself. And as you look inwardly and we observe the Lord's Supper, it's like that check engine or a change engine oil light, just in case you forgot. In case you hadn't been doing regular checkups, that you ought to take some time and examine tonight. God knew our frailties, so He put safeguards in our Christian life. We needed a change oil light. If you go a little further, you know why that engine will blow up one of these days? If you ignore that check engine or that oil change light long enough. Because that oil is supposed to do some things. All of us know that. You need to change it because its usefulness is well nigh gone. And I believe one of the benefits of a church that calls its members together for the Lord's Supper, number one, it's a command that God gives. But number two, it's like that oil change. Hopefully it's preventative maintenance. It's that you looking inwardly to make sure everything's all right between you and the Lord. Oh, we'll run on for a while. You can take your oil, now common or modern oils, especially if they're synthetics, might go for 10,000 miles. And you can go for 12 and 15,000 miles. But eventually it catches up with you. And I think that every Christian in this room tonight, you could go on without the Lord's Supper. You could go on without examining yourselves. We could forge ahead for a long time, but eventually if we don't get alone with the Lord and examine and look and take that contemplative interlook, we get to a place where we get stranded as well. So this evening, as the Lord says, for oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till we come. And so that's what I want us to do. The Bible says, let a man examine himself. Brother Dan's going to come and lead us in that song, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And as he comes to lead us in that, you can remain seated, but as he leads us in that, I want us to think about those words, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And then as we think about ourselves, we need to do as the Word of God says, let a man examine himself. Brother Dan, would you come?
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of glory done. My richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to His blood.
Well, I'm just going to ask the ladies to play something softly through, and just for a verse or two, and then I'll pray at the conclusion of that and just let you have a little time to think as you sit there and do what the Bible says, let a man examine himself. Lord, thank you, not for a ritual, but Lord, thank you for a meaningful stop in our plans and our program. For thank you for giving us this wonderful occasion tonight to look back at what you've done, to look back at the blood that was shed, look back at the body which was given. And Lord, now as we rehearse those things in our minds, we understand that the cup that's tonight, the unfermented grape juice, representative of the blood that you shed, the unleavened bread, representative of the body that you gave. Lord, thank you for providing salvation for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to read again to you the passage, part of which Brother Daniel read just a little bit ago. And I love this time of our church calendar so that we can, of course, train young folks and then also remind ourselves. But just in case anyone wonders, as we observe the Lord's Supper, the parts that we'll take are unfermented grape juice, fruit of the vine, because that most accurately represents the pure, sinless, spotless, holy blood of Christ. And just so everyone knows and understands the biblical doctrine, it is grape juice as you take it, and as it goes into your body, it remains that, and there's no strange things there. It's a symbolic act that the Lord told us to take part of. But the Bible says, and when Christ had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask Brother Marty Scroggs, he's our deacon chairman, to stand there where he is and pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon the bread tonight.
Father, we thank you for this time that we have to come together and to think about what you have done for us. And as we prepare to take the bread, Lord, I think of your body that was broken, but it first had to be that you came in flesh, the God of heaven came and dwelt amongst us as flesh, and still very much God. And Lord, it says that your body was broken, and there were so many things that happened to you that day, that the beating, the nails, the stripes. You tell us to remember that your body was broken. Lord, it was nothing that you had done. Lord, you had done that for me. And not for me, but for the whole world. And I thank you that you came and that you gave your body to be broken for us. Help us, Lord, to be focused on that and the great sacrifice that you gave for us when you showed your love to us by doing that. We ask in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Well, as you take your container that you got on the way in, you'll notice that part is grape juice on the bottom, and on the top you can see the bread. If you take it with the grape juice down and remove the foil package on top with the bread. And as you do that, I read again this passage, verse 24. That same night he has said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I'm going to ask Brother Dan to come and sing that wonderful, wonderful old song and lead us in it, I should say. There is a fountain.
There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains, The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. Wash all my sins away. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away.
What a wonderful song, wonderful singing. Well, we thank the Lord for just the opportunity to come tonight and again observe. It must have been a sobering time when the disciples were given the bread and the cup on that first Lord's Supper. And sometimes I wish that you could recapture that. Of course, it's impossible, I suppose, because we weren't there. But I hope that tonight, trust that tonight, the Lord is allowing us just to get a little glimpse, a little taste of what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing when He instituted the Lord's Supper. As we move to the time when we receive the cup, I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, if he wouldn't mind, to lift his voice there and pray and ask the Lord's blessings upon the cup, which is so sacred, not the cup, but what it represents, the blood of Christ. Brother Trent.
Lord Jesus, how great You are, Lord, that You gave Your Son, Lord, to die on that cross. Lest we forget, Lord, the suffering that He did on that cross. And it amazes me, Lord, how You could care so much for these of us, Lord, that You would give Your Son and shed that blood, Lord, that precious blood. And Lord, we just thank You, Lord, for that blood. It was shed. We thank You, Lord, that You cared that much about us, that You would shed that blood. And Lord, we just thank You and praise You, Lord, for what You did for us. And all who will ask to them, You will give him life, Lord. And we just thank You again, Lord, for that blood.
Amen and amen. As the Bible continues on, after the same manner also He took the cup when He had supped. And if you'd take that vessel that you have again and carefully just peel the foil back on the top with the juice being open there. The Bible says again, after the same manner He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of Me." The Bible says, in back in the Gospels, not this passage that we looked at, and after they had supped after that, then they went out into the Mount of Olives and sang a hymn. And so I'm going to ask Brother Dan, he's going to come and lead us in several verses of a wonderful old song. And I trust the Lord would just let this moment sit in us and bring it to us again and again and again throughout this week. Brother Dan.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now let's all stand on that last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to see God's glory than when we first began. begun. We've no less days. We've no less days to see God's grace than when we first begun.
Well, I hope that you trust that you've enjoyed being in the Lord's house tonight. And not only are you here, I believe, where you ought to be, and many are just not able to be here because of sickness and things, and we certainly understand that. But if that's not the case, then the church family ought to come together. And thank God for the opportunity. But then not only do we come together, but then we also fulfill a biblical command to remember these things as the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. And I say to that, God bless you all, and God bless us as we go out, and may it go with us. And I don't want to rob from this morning, but remember this. I'm challenging you as your pastor, and I'll be doing this as well, because I told several folks that you preach yourself under conviction, because what I preach to you today, I'm guilty of rushing through that sweet, slow time with the Lord that all of us ought to have. But I'm challenging your pastor to make sure you carve out time this week to get alone with the Lord, get in His Word, let His Word get in you. You may be a morning person, do it then. You may be an evening person, do it then. You may be a no-time person, well, get right and do it sometime. So make sure we do it. And I believe the Lord will show up in your life and be a sweet, sweet time. Now, you know it's very early, and so that's good, that's fine. But I want you not to be in a rush. Deacons, I need to meet with you, but let's not meet till 7:20. That'll give us about 15, 20 minutes there, and we'll meet in the blue room. And but the rest of us, I challenge you to stay around for just a little while, fellowship. I understand you got to go, and this is working good for your timetable. I understand. I'm not saying it's not mandatory. We're not going to lock the doors. We're going to take an offering. Now, we'll do that for sure. We're not going to lock the doors, keep you. But I challenge you, fellowship for a little while. We're out a little bit early. And you know there's a Kentucky Fried Chicken open. Go over there and eat. Go have some fun. And God bless you. Thank God. Aren't you glad you're a part of a church? And I'm thankful that there are Bible-believing churches. We're not the only one. I'm thankful there's churches that are meeting and the Word of God is going forward. So praise the Lord, we're part of a church. God bless you. You're dismissed.
Stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ground.